time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
First, the word was liberal. Then, the phrase became politically correct. Now, the word woke suggests a whole host of so-called progressive ideas that our country needs to wake up to and embrace. The titles politically correct and woke have more or less become interchangeable, but what we really should wake up from is the delusion that any of this poisonous brainwashing is correct politically or otherwise. I'm Bob Siegel. You wonder why so many frown upon the word liberal. What in the world is wrong with being a liberal? You always thought of that as a good word. Well, my friend, actually, that is a good word if we're just looking at the word itself. Nothing's wrong with being a liberal as far as what that word literally means. It's just that the meanings of words tend to take on new associations in the wide panorama of history progression. Several years ago, I wrote and published a piece of satire for my column. It was called The Liberal Manifesto, kind of a play on words, a parody mimicking the style of serious works such as The Communist Manifesto and The Socialist Manifesto. While satire has its humorous moments, my purpose was to present irony and cause people to reconsider their liberal positions by recognizing that almost every standard they adhered to directly contradicted another standard that they also claimed to embrace. Now, over the years, I have republished this column several times, updating it along the way. The reason is obvious. I don't need to tell you. You can guess. Newer positions, increasingly more hideous positions, had to get added to the list because I was watching the news. And these positions had even greater contradictions. Well, today I present my latest version of the Liberal Manifesto, even more updated. I call this making the obvious obvious, and despite the tongue-in-cheek fashion, my purpose really is to challenge and educate, not to make anybody feel bad. If it helps, there are bad values on this list that I once embraced back before I became a Christian, and when I say that, I'm not saying that all Christians reject today's liberalism or all Christians would agree with me. They don't. They should, but they don't. I don't mean that they should agree with me. I mean that they should agree with the values in the Bible that are being contradicted around us by our culture. On the other hand, there are many people who resist liberalism, and they're not Christian at all. So I'm not here to say that Christians are smarter than anyone else. Believe me, I know a lot of intelligent people who are not religious. And I know a lot of stupid Christians, frankly. But again, I myself have done stupid things too. So let's just say that today's show is a chance for all of us to reason together, learn and grow together. Before I begin, back to that term liberal. Actually, in the most technical sense, I consider myself to be a liberal, that is a true liberal in the historic idea, in the generic usage of the word, one who marches to the beat of a different drum and does not always follow the pack, one who challenges the conventional wisdom most people have accepted without analysis, simply because it comes from staple institutions like college or the media. Unfortunately, that definition, although good, has changed. Today, the term liberal is being used to describe the status quo, the politically correct. other virtues offered up as sacred values taken for granted and portrayed like the only clear, sensible positions. Such people discourage debate and resort to name-calling when they're asked to authenticate their so-called facts. In other words, the term liberal no longer really means liberal. Truth be told, today's liberals should call themselves conservative. Now, nobody likes that word either. Conservative, you think of that word, you think of some old fuddy-duddy. But I got to tell you, what liberals stood for in the 1960s, conservatives are standing for now, for the most part at least. If we really wanted to search for a name that sounded better than conservative and still caught the heart of the older liberalism, the word libertarian comes closest, with their views of less government, more freedom. I actually relate to a good deal of what libertarians stand for, but I do feel that on some issues they push a little too much for freedom. Freedom sounds great, but when it gets pushed to the point where other people's rights and other people's freedoms are being challenged, it becomes a problem. Although, to be fair to my libertarian friends, there's a spectrum. Not all libertarians are in agreement with every issue. Not all libertarians are in agreement with each other on everything, just as not all conservatives are in agreement with each other. Not all Republicans are in agreement with each other. For myself, I resonate to some degree with all three of them, Republicans, conservatives, libertarians. But I suppose the term that best describes me is independent, and I'm registered as an independent politically. Unfortunately, ideas that today are being hailed as liberal are really falling under the philosophy of Marxism, if you look at what they're actually calling for, if you look at what they really want to do. And yet, those who today call themselves liberal usually resist words such as Marxist. Interestingly enough, until recently, they even resisted the word socialist just a few years ago. If you called a Democrat or any liberal a socialist, they accused you of name-calling, demonization, and overreacting. Now, thanks to Bernie Sanders, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and a lot of college professors, people are wearing the title socialist as a badge of honor. And meanwhile, there are still people who are more classically liberal in terms of what they really believe. They're not really Marxist, but they align themselves in sincere ignorance to Marxist philosophy, not understanding the whole philosophy, but they resonate with its promises, promises to help the poor, promises to be against racism, promises being the operative word. They don't usually really deliver on any of that stuff. And others do honestly align themselves with Marxist philosophy, but they still resist the titles. Not the ideas, the titles. People are often a lot more interested in what they're being called and the way things sound and the way things appear. That's called symbolism over substance. Anyway, perhaps the best way to not get distracted, the best way to not judge books by their covers, is to find a label that simply encompasses the direction our country seems headed. And for that, I think I will go back to politically correct. For that reason, in this updated version, I am changing the name from Liberal Manifesto to Politically Correct Manifesto. This best describes people who are clinging to popular ideas, even if some of these so-called new ideas are old, resurfaced ideas. So now, imagine us taking all the PC talking points, all the things on the politically correct list that you're expected to believe, or at least most of them, a bunch of them, putting them on one list, and imagine if they were written out as one manifesto trying to make sense. That's what I put together in a tongue-in-cheek fashion. Of course, even if the style is satirical, I am very serious. No, I doubt that you will ever hear a liberal or a politically correct person by name describe himself or herself in exactly this fashion. But these are the honest sum totals of their connecting pillars with all the subtle contradictions. Naturally, with all human beings, there are exceptions and variations from individual to individual. I am critiquing the generalized thought. But my friends, exceptions to the rule ought not make us ignore the rule. Otherwise, the big elephant in the room is never confronted. My apologies to my Democratic friends for using a Republican mascot just now to make a point. I will be speaking in the first person as if I were the politically correct person writing this manifesto. And now, without further ado, the rewritten liberal manifesto, now called the politically correct manifesto. Both words today really mean the same thing, but I'm just using a word that people might be more comfortable with. The politically correct manifesto. Number one, we believe that notions of good and evil are outdated and should never be used, unless we're talking about Donald Trump, other Republicans, or right-wing born-again Christians who are clearly responsible historically for almost every evil in the world. Point two of the politically correct manifesto. We are strong advocates of choice. We are the people of choice. Unless people want to choose their own schools, radio shows, cars, cigars, unhealthy food, healthcare providers, amount of energy to use in the home, salaries to pay employees, location for religious assembly, location for religious symbols, and the amount of money to leave their children in a will. We do continue to celebrate a woman's right to choose an abortion, but we also like the laws in China that limit how many children one can birth because too many people in the world contribute to global warming. So the one remaining choice is only a temporary one. Point three, we believe that having women on the Supreme Court offers necessary balance, as women will always bring a perspective men cannot offer with important decisions that guide our country. On the other hand, when it comes to guiding children in a family atmosphere, we do not believe gender to be of any importance whatsoever. Indeed, a child with two fathers is going to be every bit as healthy as a child with a father and a mother. And in that case, female influence is non-essential to development and health. Point four, we believe in standing up for the rights of the weak and the disenfranchised, unless we're talking about an unborn baby. Point five, we believe in tolerance. And those who are unwilling to tolerate the same lifestyles we tolerate should no longer be tolerated. Thus, we strongly advocate laws forbidding hate speech. And if those guilty of hate speech do not see their speech as hateful, it only means they are especially hateful and that their intolerance should be especially not tolerated. Point six of the PC Manifesto. We believe that as regards gay marriage, church and state should be completely separated. Christians have no right to pass laws about who can or cannot be married out in the secular world, and we therefore applaud the Supreme Court decision made a few years ago. Marriage in the church can be defined any way they want, so long as they do not impose that belief on the rest of us. However, we strongly support those who sue churches for refusing to marry gay couples because, after all, this is a civil rights issue and not a religious issue. Therefore, religious people should not be exempted. Point seven, as a specific example of our inclusive philosophy, we believe that when conservatives opposed President Obama's nominee to the Supreme Court, Sonia Sotomayor, their only possible motive must clearly have been racism. It couldn't possibly have been for concerns about a judge who was going to legislate from the bench. However, and this is very important, when Democrats opposed Clarence Thomas and Alberto Gonzalez, race had nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. Point eight, in that same vein, we accept Judge Sotomayor's right to claim that a Latina woman will reach a better conclusion than a white male who hasn't lived that life. Such a statement cannot be construed as racist because people of color do not have the power. Even though this woman is a Supreme Court judge, has kind of sort of had a lot of power for years. Meanwhile, should a white judge ever claim that a white man can rule better than a Latina woman, we will expose him as the sexist, racist, bigoted vermin he truly is. Point nine, we believe that all rich people are evil, with the exception of rich Democrat politicians, George Soros, Michael Moore, or any left-wing Hollywood activist. Point 10, we believe religion should be left out of any political discussion, separation between church and state. Religion does not belong in any political discussion unless some Democrat politician wants to say that Jesus would have accepted illegal immigration, or some gay Episcopal priest wants to talk about how the Bible teaches that God is loving and tolerant. In those cases, religion is a very appropriate ingredient to bring into the mix. Catching on? Point 11. We believe intelligent design does not belong in the classroom due to, once again, church and state legalities. Therefore, intelligent design should not be put forth even as a theory to be discussed. We also believe that if an instructor wants to talk about how stupid it is to believe in God, he should be allowed. Separation between church and state does not apply in that situation. Point 12. When a professor such as Ward Churchill from a number of years ago compares the victims of 9/11 to Nazis, his speech, outrageous as it is, must be protected under the First Amendment. On the other hand, when the president of Harvard suggested that men and women tend to score differently on math tests, well, in that case, such talk should never have been allowed because, First Amendment put aside, the college campus must hold its staff to a higher standard. Besides, we know that men and women are not different at all about anything, even though, once again, women do bring a unique perspective to the Supreme Court. Point 13. We believe it is wrong for a mother to spank her child. That is child abuse. But if she wants to kill this child in the womb, that is her fundamental right. Point 14. We are very concerned about global warming, and those who would ask us to prove it scientifically should just get with the program and stop being so dog-darned argumentative. However, we will ask Christians to prove their belief in God scientifically, and if they can't, they have no place in our public dialogue. Indeed, they pollute our public dialogue. Oh, yes. And if Christians claim they can prove God scientifically, if they claim they can do that, well, then they should be especially banned from public dialogue. Never mind that we asked them to prove God. Never mind that we asked. We only asked because we were sure they couldn't do it. Point 15. We believe that almost anything you can imagine and a lot of stuff you never would have dreamed up in a million years contributes to global warming, including Christmas lights, cow dung, cow emissions. But the private jets that Democrats fly around in to give lectures on global warming are not a problem. While we're on the subject of private jets, when Wall Street CEOs fly in such jets, they're evil. That is, they would be evil if such a thing existed, and in the cases of people we don't like, it does exist. See point one. Point 16 of the PC Manifesto. We believe that smaller cars will keep our atmosphere safer, even if accidents in such cars will kill a whole lot more people than big cars. People come and go, but the planet is what's important. Point 17. When a Muslim terrorist kills a person, we must not rush to judgment and condemn the entire religion of Islam. For this is a beautiful religion hijacked by a few nutcase terrorists, and one or two bad apples do not spoil the whole bunch. However, if a police officer shoots a black man claiming he resisted arrest, we automatically assume that this was done due to racism and that such racism permeates our police departments all over the country. Point 18. We believe America needs to have a serious conversation about race and admit that primarily we are a racist country where African Americans are unable to advance, even though we twice elected an African American president and have had two African American secretaries of state and two African American Supreme Court justices. Point 19. We liberals are proud of being more nuanced than conservatives. For example, we suggest that instead of merely wanting to destroy organizations like ISIS, we should find them jobs. And when we deny that their religion has anything to do with their objectives, even though they claim themselves that their religion is central to their objectives, well, these are nuanced arguments on our part, far too complex, far too complicated for those dumb country bumpkin conservatives to grasp. On the other hand, anyone who did not support or vote for Barack Obama was clearly a racist. It is simply impossible that they might have objected to his lies about Benghazi, lies about healthcare, rule by unconstitutional executive fiat, or deals with Iran in the face of Iran's proud boast to destroy both Israel and America. Nope, nope. If you dislike Obama, there is nothing nuanced about it. You are a racist, plain and simple. Ditto if you didn't vote for Hillary. Never mind the story she made up about her email server. You just can't handle a woman president. That's all. What? You say you supported Michelle Bachmann? You say you supported Carly Fiorina? You wanted them for president? Well, they don't count. Conservative women aren't true women. Oh, you say you also supported Ben Carson for president? You also supported Herman Cain for president? They didn't count either, dummy. They're not really black. They're Oreos, black on the outside, white on the inside. Point 20. If a Christian business will not cater a gay wedding, never mind all this free exercise of religion guaranteed under the First Amendment nonsense. Once again, this is now a civil rights issue. On the other hand, should a Muslim business refuse a request to cater a wedding with pork due to their religious convictions, just leave them alone. Haven't the poor Muslims been through enough trying to explain that Muslim terrorists are not really Muslims? We owe them one. Besides, it's a little less safe to confront Muslims than it is to confront Christians, but we won't go into those reasons because if we did, we would be guilty of hate speech. Point 21. We believe right-wing ideas are too stupid to even debate. That is why we do not debate them. We call right-wingers names instead because they deserve to be called names. Hitler is always a good one. Would you debate with a Nazi or with a Ku Klux Klan member? Of course not. Can we prove that all right-wing people are like the Nazis or the Klan? Well, no. To do that, we would have to have a debate, and we are not going to debate. Haven't you been paying attention? Point 21. We believe that we should obey our governors and mayors without hesitation when they put forth executive orders about lockdowns, sheltering in place, social distancing, masks, even the closing of churches, theaters, and businesses such as salons or fitness centers. After all, they are merely keeping us safe. On the other hand, when these same mayors and governors order the police to stand down and call for the defunding of police, we have no right to accuse them of not caring about our safety because all they are doing is allowing people to peacefully protest. Point 22, on that same subject, as for those who don't believe these protests are peaceful because of all the violence, we call your attention to the fact that this violence has a righteous cause, so it can't possibly be true violence. Indeed, those who call it violence, they are the violent ones. By the way, those who protest against their stores not being allowed to open up, well, in those cases, they are being rebellious. They should be put in jail because of COVID-19. On the other hand, convicted felons already in jail should be released because of COVID-19. Point 23. This is also related. We believe that policemen are good, decent, hardworking people who are just doing their jobs when they arrest a woman who defies orders and opens up her salon. But these same police are evil racists who should be defunded should they ever try to prevent shootings, beatings, and buildings being burnt down in the name of Black Lives Matter. Next point. We believe all Black Lives Matter, except for Black policemen. Black business owners whose buildings were burnt down, Black babies put to death in abortions, Black children being shot as a result of anarchy in the streets, and any Black conservatives. Once again, Black conservatives are not truly Black. And those, my friend, are only some of the points. Every time we turn on the news, there's more. That's why no matter how many times I try to update this, it is never completely current, at least not for more than a day or two. The PC woke agenda goes on in 2023. Race and gender continue to dominate the headlines. Those who are eager to indoctrinate your kids in the public school with critical race theory are just as eager to bring in the LGBTQ agenda. The idea is to make you feel like a racist if you object to any of it. Even the gender discussion, which really has nothing to do with race, which many civil rights leaders over the years have said has nothing to do with race. But those who have hijacked the narrative will claim that everything is about race as their PC woke manifesto continues. Check out these extra fun ones for size. All white people are racist no matter what they do. People of color can never be racist. White people are racist. They can try to tell us that they're not racist. They could try to prove that they're not racist. They can offer demonstrations and examples about why they're not racist. But don't you try any tricks to pretend you are not a racist. Even when a white couple adopts black children, do you think that fools anyone? You don't love those kids. You only did that because you want to be a white colonizer. On the other hand, if white foster parents were offered a black baby and they said they preferred a white baby, whoa, only one reason for that. Don't try to get out of it by claiming you don't want to be a colonizer. You're just a racist through and through. That's why you didn't want a baby of color. And don't try to sell us on other things you like about cultures different than your own. White people can say they love the African-American culture or the Hispanic culture or the Asian culture, even to the point of imitating their styles. But that, my friend, is cultural appropriation. As a female student once learned by wearing an Asian dress to a dance. And white restaurant owners are also learning if they want to cook ethnic food. Only Mexicans should own Mexican restaurants. Only Chinese should own Chinese restaurants. However, and this is very important, if we want to imitate third world cultures by eating bugs and insects, well, that is not cultural appropriation, because that will save the planet from global warming. Just don't you dare be white and say you identify with being black. Not that you can't identify at all. If you're a man identifying with being a woman, well, who are we to judge? On the subject of men and women, when men are accused by women, the women are to be immediately believed, and the men are to be immediately found guilty, as so many of our U.S. senators reminded us when Brett Kavanaugh was nominated to the Supreme Court and accused of sexual advances by a woman. Of course, had Kavanaugh claimed he really was a woman, that he identified with being a woman and therefore could not have been lying because he was really a woman, well, we're too smart. What do you think we'd become? A country of idiots? No, just a country of woke people. In fact, we're too woke to even use pronouns such as he or she in public places. We no longer say father and mother in the classroom. At Disneyland, they no longer say ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, okay? Of course, if a man is calling himself she or a woman is calling herself he, then the pronouns are very appropriate. And that's all. In the name of tolerance, free thought, open discussion, personal choice, and sound reason, we, the undersigned, do proudly uphold this latest incarnation of the politically correct manifesto. Well, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of irony, a lot of satire, but also a lot of truth, and hopefully a lot to think about. Hi, I'm Bob Siegel, here to talk about my latest book, The Many Myths About Ministry. As you know, I'm a Christian apologist, but let me tell you something. In my many years of interactions with skeptics, doubters, and even seekers, I have found that the vast majority of their problems with Christianity stem from previous church experiences. Yes, What's more, many of their concerns are valid and serve as inspiration for this book. While defending the truth of the Bible and the importance of the gospel message, I nevertheless take an honest look at the way Christians interact with each other. From the larger issues of putting our leaders on too high a pedestal, to the unfair judging of the way another person worships, to the unsolicited advice which claims to have been led by the Spirit of God. Of course, and I do believe the Spirit of God speaks, I do, but a lot of times Christians are putting words in his mouth. Who are we kidding? My friends, this simple, easy read will strike a chord of familiarity with anyone involved in church life. It's a call to lay aside the unimportant issues that distract us and return to the heart of Christian community.
The Many Myths About Ministry by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Well, many social and political issues were mentioned in the previous segment, including the issue of abortion. One important disclaimer that I always like to give regarding abortion. My purpose, you need to understand, when speaking out in general, is to expose the hypocrisy of politicians or the responsibility of certain doctors who understand just exactly what they are doing. For the women themselves getting abortions, many of them are feeling caught between a rock and a hard place. They're convinced and pressured into getting abortions. They are not setting out to kill babies, and they are told by the so-called experts that that is not what they're doing. But whatever a person's motive, whatever a person has done, the message of Jesus, my friends, is one of forgiveness. My wife heads up a tremendous ministry of forgiveness and emotional healing for women who have had abortions and regretted their decisions. She will be back in future shows, as she has been in previous shows, to tell us more about this ministry. But for now, say hello again to my producer, Brendan Thomas.
Good evening, Bob. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay. How about yourself?
I've been hectic as get out because it was my wife's birthday yesterday. So I've been busy, busy, busy.
Oh, that's right. Well, I won't ask over the air how old she was, but I will ask you if she had a good time and the two of you had a good time celebrating.
We had an excellent time.
What did you end up doing?
We went to plenty of museums, the San Diego Automotive Museum, the Birch Aquarium, all sorts of different things.
There are so many things to do in San Diego. You're always thinking people will go away somewhere.
Yeah.
But there's so much to do here. It's already a built-in vacation.
And it helps a lot that this month is San Diego Museum Month, so all the museums are half price.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Well, there you go. Yeah, it is fun being at Balboa Park and going to the different
museums. It is amazing there. And it was quite busy, by the way. So make sure you guys schedule a good time instead of Saturday at, I don't know.
Yeah, Saturday is probably not the best day to do something real popular.
Yeah. So, man, what a crazy week in news this week, huh? I mean, first off, the Chinese spy balloon situation.
Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water.
I know. First off, I am so disappointed in Biden's administration, which I know is an oxymoron because
we say it
almost every day.
I was disappointed in his administration before he even had an administration.
I know. But they're quick to go blame, saying, oh, well, this balloon was out while Trump was in office, so therefore he's responsible.
For course, it's always, if somebody got stung by a bee, it would have been because of Trump, and he wasn't doing enough about global warming, and that's why the bees are metastasizing.
Right. You know what? As a person, not a politician, I would respect you more if you said, hey, it's our fault. We have no idea how this Chinese spy balloon made it all the way to South Carolina. Mind you, that's the other side of the coast, Bob. We have the Pacific Ocean on our side. I would have understood, okay, it's in California or Oregon or Washington, but this is in South Carolina, the other side. How long has this balloon been up there, and why haven't you done anything prior to this whole
and
situation?
And the fact that the Chinese knew they weren't going to do anything about it is the very reason it went up. Do you think they would have even tried that on Trump's watch?
And again, the saying from the Chinese government was saying that we overreacted to the whole situation. It doesn't surprise me in the slightest, because
we overreacted, Biden underreacted.
I know, and it drove me insane. I would have said immediately, yeah, shoot it down. Why is it here in the first place?
Well, aside from the fact that he's as spineless as all get out and has no moral scruples at all, he and his son Hunter are obviously beholding to China, and there's only so much they could do.
And this is a perfect example of that. So
I'm sure before Biden makes any national decision, he gets on the horn with China and they say, now you just sit down and shut up, Joe, and we'll tell you what you're going
to
do.
Yeah. And then the other quick news I want to just point out, Kyrie Irving, the guy who we talked about.
Yes,
prior,
we talked about him several times.
Yeah,
on the
he
show.
Just got traded to Dallas Mavericks. So basically the Brooklyn Nets just
Wipe their hands clean of him.
Yeah, exactly. So now it's Dallas's issue, which, you know, we'll see how that goes for them. But
Dallas is a pretty, well, I was going to say Texas is a pretty conservative place for some of the things he's spouting off. But then Dallas is one of the more liberal portions of Texas. So
that does remind me one more story.
Not
too.
As bad as Austin, but yeah, bad. Yeah.
One more story, too. They just came out with the migration of Americans for 2022. Surprise, surprise. California leads out of all states for the most people leaving the state. And
the migration out of the state.
Exactly,
and
yeah.
Probably California also leads for the amount of illegal immigrants immigrating into the state.
That's illegal.
Although Texas is probably a good runner-up for
that,
too.
Texas is second place in terms of leading, actually, in growing population. Behind, can you guess what state? And it's a very conservative state.
I'm going to guess Florida.
That is right. Ding, ding, ding. Yes. How about that? I'm not surprised.
That was a softball, Brendan.
I know.
That was an easy one.
That is not a surprise in the slightest. And I think, honestly, the main reason of that is actually DeSantis himself. I think his policies have been a huge game changer, and people have been opening their eyes. They're like, well, I want to live in this state where they're actually agreeing with my rights and my policies that I want to go with. And my state's actually doing something instead of just meandering like California or New York. New York is in second place for the most people migrating out of the state. But
you know, I was born in Florida and I lived there till I was almost 6 years old, and then we moved to California. And if not for those freaking looking alligators, it would be very enticing to go back to Florida. It's just
Don't get me started on the mosquito issue there too.
Mosquitoes, the heat. They've got Disney World and that's great, but boy, I'll tell you though, we talked about this with Jim Barrier last week. We can talk about the climate, we can talk about all the good things and the weather, but if we're not living under a free republic, none of that really matters.
I couldn't agree more. So let's get into back to part two of the new laws that are coming into place here in California.
New laws from Newsom.
Yeah. So we're going to start off with a couple of the money ones here. As you probably have heard, the minimum wage has been risen in the state of California. In California, it is now $15.50, and it's up from the $15 for large employers and $14 for smaller employers of last year. Obviously, does this matter in the long run? No, because of how high cost is and inflation is for everything else in this world right now.
Well, the other thing is the politicians that are always raising minimum wage, they love to pat themselves on the back about how fair and equitable they're being. But what they're doing is they're causing people to lose their jobs. Because if somebody's running a business and he can't afford to pay everybody minimum wage, what does he do? He fires half of his staff, and then he raises the prices on us, or they get replaced by automation. A few years ago, they came out with a robot named Flippy because he flipped hamburgers, and they were saying, Flippy doesn't lobby for better wages. Flippy doesn't go on strike. Flippy just flips your hamburger. That's where we're headed with this. So our politicians can pat themselves on the back and look in the mirror and be proud that, well, I raised minimum wage. Dudes, all you're doing is taking jobs away from people, giving them to machines, and jacking up the prices for customers.
Exactly, yeah. And that also correlates with the other thing here. Employers now must disclose their salary ranges for jobs. I'm very 50-50 on this. On the one hand, I am so glad that I get to know how much I'm going to get paid based on my experience here. So if a job says, oh, I'm going to get paid $35,000, I'm like, okay, well, then in that case, I'm just going to go.
Well, don't employers have to disclose that? Who takes on a job without being told what he's going to be paid?
It depends on what kind of industry you want to go into and depending on the area as well.
Really? So, I must admit, I had not heard of this because I've never been employed by a job that didn't tell me up front exactly what I was going to be paid.
Yeah, I've applied to plenty of radio stations.
And what
out
do
there.
They tell you? They say it's within this range and they talk evasively around what the salary is going to be?
In the actual job description, they don't mention anything besides the pay is decent.
Okay, now, but when you're actually in there and you're ready to sign a contract, yep, they have to tell you then.
Then
right?
They'll tell me.
Oh, okay. So you just mean not disclose while it's being advertised.
Correct.
Oh.
So now,
okay,
now
that,
they have
different.
To advertise themselves.
So now they
as
have
saying
to
how much they're going to be paid for. So on the one hand, great, I get to know how much I'm going to get, and if I don't want a certain job that's not paying very well, then I can just completely ignore it and stop wasting my time trying to apply for that job. On the other hand, this now hurts a lot of local companies who, again, can't afford that. So if they see a company that's only offering $35,000 for a job that you think you wanted, then you're going to be like, well, this other company, and it's a larger corporate business, is probably going to be offering me double that pay. So I think this actually hurts local businesses specifically more in the long run, and it only helps corporate businesses.
And there's another hand. There's a third hand. Mm-hmm. It is not the business of the government to tell a business how to advertise or how to do anything.
Yeah.
I believe in the private sector. The government should just keep their greamy, grimy gopher mitts out of it.
I was going to say, this surprises me, because isn't the California government all for small businesses? They're like, buckle up your bootstraps. You guys made it through COVID, and we want to help you as much as possible. We're going to give you a business loan to help you through the COVID times. And here's a specific policy that I think only helps corporate businesses. Very, very strange.
No, the help they were giving everybody was more control. What they love, what's an aphrodisiac to the government, is control. They say they're helping us. They say they're protecting us.
Let me rephrase that. The mainstream media said it was helping, but we all knew in the long run. No,
yeah,
they're just basically...
The mainstream media, otherwise known as Pravda, which just repeats the Democratic talking points.
Yeah, so for that reason, it's very mixed, but I don't know how it helps local businesses for that policy. Moving on, you're no longer allowed to sell furs now in stores, which I was already for for that business thing. I personally don't see the old quality of wearing fur coats and everything like that.
I don't either, and I've never liked fur coats. But again, if somebody wants to sell fur coats, I don't see how that's the government's business.
Well, it's all about animal abuse.
Yeah, but when the same people that are speaking out for animal abuse have no problem with euthanasia and infanticide and abortion, then I start raising my eyebrows a little bit.
Oh, okay, I got you. So because they're already saying, you know, okay, so you're for wonderful animals, but then when it comes to actual human rights, that's another story entirely, isn't it?
Yeah, I love animals, pets. I don't believe in animal cruelty. But when they start elevating animal life above human life, then it becomes a problem.
Gotcha. Another one is, now we as taxpayers have to pay for prisoners' phone calls. Already in the San Diego County, this has already been a usual thing now for jail phone calls now coming out of tax dollars. So what a surprise.
You just can't make this stuff
up. I know.
Up.
Los Angeles County was already preparing to do this as a law, so now they just sped up the process because...
Where is Dirty Harry when we need him? Yeah, I'm all broken up about that guy's rights.
So it says here that people who are incarcerated in California can now make free phone calls under a new law that places the cost of calls on the State Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation and taxpayers. Advocates of the change say that the high phone fees unfairly limit communication communication between prisoners and their loved ones, and that families of inmates in California were paying $68.2 million a year in phone calls. So it's trying to basically say that we should give more time for them to actually talk to their families while they're incarcerated in jail, which I am for sure.
You know, there's a point, and some people are probably in there and they were innocent, and then our hearts really go out to them.
Of course.
You get back again to rules and exceptions to the rule. As a general rule, have we really been losing sleep at nights because people can't talk more on the phone to the point where we want to spend our tax dollars on
it? I wouldn't say that either. Yeah, because there's other ways of form of communication there. I mean, I've actually seen some people in jail actually have cell phones and actually video record themselves and having FaceTime. I'm like, how is that even legal? You can easily do something. Anyways, so there's that. And then there's also a form of, I don't know, getting a pencil, getting some paper, writing something down. It's called a letter that I think many people should go back to somehow.
I think a lot of people in this generation have never even heard of a letter written on a piece of paper.
Or for that reason, a pencil and a paper. Like, well, we use iPads to communicate with each other these days. I swear to you, again, within the public school district, all I see are kids and iPads, and that's their education system. The teacher is now kind of just an extra tool on the
side. Oh, we become a
side.
Paperless society. Yeah.
It's been so sad. No, but I'm saying the teachers aren't even stepping in to educate the kids.
Well, these teachers are going to be replaced by computers soon anyway. So.
Yeah, and here comes again with that whole salary and taking jobs away.
That's right.
Dang, it is a sad.
Now, I feel sad because a lot of teachers do a wonderful job and they deserve the job, but there are other teachers. I heard of a teacher in New York that was on probation, but because of the unions, they couldn't fire her. And all year long, they paid her to go out there and just sit in their classroom by herself and do nothing.
With no students?
Now, if she was replaced by a computer, she could be replaced by a computer whose hard drive crashed and the computer would still be doing her job.
What? That's, come on.
You can't make it up anymore.
No, I heard another story, but this was like early on into the whole race theory situation where a teacher was actually going to a student and said, you should be ashamed being white. And he was still hired within the school district. Where is our logic now in our school district?
Well, that's what they're teaching now in the critical race theory. Everybody that's white has all this heap of guilt. And if you're of another color, there's no guilt at all. This is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that all of us are guilty of sin. There are white racists. There are black racists. There are white people who are not racist. There are black people who are not racist. This should not be rocket science, folks, but it's the age we live in. And most people, Brendan, feel this way, but they're afraid to say anything. Yep. It's the emperor's new clothes, the majority, the pack. They must be right. I can't trust my lying eyes.
A great example we talked about, I think, a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was last week, was, again, the situation that happened in Memphis, where it was a black police officer who killed a black person.
Yes, and what we've been hearing in all the talking points is, well, he may have been a black police officer, but he was educated by a white police department, and that they'll always say something.
I know. I bet they said the exact same thing. Do you remember the Straight Outta Compton people, the rap group there that was in the movie? They were specifically being like racist against by a black police officer. And I bet the same excuse was said back in the 90s with that whole situation. So history is repeating itself.
Well, and these are the same people that tell you that a black conservative politician like Larry Elder is really a white supremacist. Mm-hmm. Or a person like Candace Owen or Ben Carson, they're really white supremacists. They just make it up as they go, and everybody else is expected to roll over and play dead. You get one or two brave souls that say something, and they go, oh, well, we're going to cancel you. And I go, says who? People need to stand up and say, you can say that I'm canceled, but you're not really the NBC network canceling bonanza. I'm a human being, yeah. And I decide I'm not canceled.
Right.
And excuse me, I'll say any darn thing I want. If you don't like it, why don't you go soak your head? We need more people to just say that.
Right. And a good comparison, like you said, too, within the manifesto that you said earlier, is the fact that it's an Oreo thing where they're black on the
inside.
Yeah, and white
they're not really. And the same thing when Sarah Palin was running for vice president. Oh, she's not really a woman. She's not really a woman because she's against abortion. If she was a true woman, she'd be. Who says so? Who makes this stuff up?
Apparently society, but they'll just decide whether something is canceled or not within a 2-year range or something. And it drives me insane because cancel culture is one of the worst things to happen.
We just need enough people to say, you can call me canceled. I say I'm not. And then we need others mm-hmm. to stand up for them.
Right.
And if somebody gets fired from some job, we need a brave person to hire them on the next. I've said this a lot before on the air, Brendan. Cowardice is contagious, but courage is contagious also. And if a few people will speak out, some others will go, okay, yeah, so I wasn't crazy. I'm going to get up and be counted too.
Yeah. You know what? That is a great way to finish up this whole like new law situation that I have here. Courage is contagious as well. So follow through on your actions and don't be afraid to speak up for yourself and say, hey, I'm not going to be canceled. And I do want to speak my own opinion.
Hey, I just had a burst of brilliance here, Brendan.
Go for it.
With this idea of Newsom and the new laws, and we know it's not going to stop. There's going to be more. Just like we have our King Newsom update and our Joe Biden update, you're probably a fan of the old Inspector Clouseau Pink Panther movies with Peter Sellers.
Mm-hmm.
Remember how nobody in France could understand his French accent?
Yes.
Do you have a Zoom? And they go, what? Well, there was one time where he was talking about obeying the law. And he meant to say law. They're going, leh. So we need to have our King Newsom's latest lehs, and we'll play Peter Sellers saying leh every time we do it. We got to put something like that
together. I will put that together for sure. Let me end my whole story with actually some good news here. The Cancer Society has just announced that there has been a 33% decrease in cancer deaths. They attribute this to steady progress and improvements on cancer treatments, dropping in smoking habits, and an increase in of early detections. Which I know you could relate to because your wife...
My wife is a cancer survivor. Exactly. She's going through her final radiation right now, but is cancer-free.
Yeah, and that's fantastic to hear. So I am so glad that we're actually improving on these things. And if you do wish to donate to some of these cancer treatment places, please do so. There's certain ones out there that I can't list off the top of my head because we're running out of time here closely.
And you'll get a tax deduction. That'll be less taxes paying for some convict to have a phone call with his girlfriend.
Yeah, so if you wish to donate to them... Absolutely, because again, we're improving, obviously, and we can do a lot more here. So again, congratulations to those who have beat it, and for those who are still fighting, keep fighting.
That
out
is
there
terrific
for sure.
News, because Dana and I know so many people in just this last year that have had cancer that we've lost count of it. So from our experience, we would not have thought that it's decreasing like that, but that's wonderful news to hear.
Absolutely. So thank you again so much for the time that I had with you tonight here, Bob.
And Brendan, it is always a pleasure. Always fun finishing out the show with you.
Yeah. And anytime I find a new around, I will let you know for
sure. It's time for the latest California yeah. And then you have to always play the guy going You said, yes, that is what I said, you imbecile. You gotta love it. All right. We'll see you next time, everybody. This is Bob Siegel, making the obvious obvious.
Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by the Law Offices of Matthew Simone.